Well, thank you so much for being here on a really snowy day. We're never quite sure what to expect on these kind of mornings, and so thank you very much for being a part of our gathering this morning. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to dig into Numbers chapter 11 is the scripture we're going to look at today. So if you want to find that in your Bible, open up your Bible app on your phone. Numbers chapter 11 is where we're going to be in just a minute. And while you are locating that, I want to ask you just a quick question. Have you ever been desperate? Now, not desperate for ice cream, not desperate for your team to win the game, but have you ever been actually so desperate that you could feel it way down in your soul? I mean, way down deep. You just felt desperate. Many years ago, at a church I pastored at that time in Kalamazoo, a young businesswoman started attending our gatherings on Sunday morning, and I didn't know her other than the fact that I just greeted her when she came in the door on Sundays. But eventually, after attending for a while, she made an appointment to come and see me. And on that day, my secretary ushered her into my office, and she and I began to chat, and I discovered that this young woman was incredibly successful. She was on a skyrocket trajectory with her career. She made tons of money. She was incredibly popular. She wore expensive clothes. She attracted the attention of a lot of men. And she was absolutely miserable. I will never forget sitting there, and it's been almost 30 years ago now. Yes, I'm that old. Almost 30 years ago, I will never forget her sitting there in my office with emotions just overflowing, with tears streaming down her face and saying, "Wes, I am so desperate to know what my real purpose in life is. It has to be more than just making money. It has to be more than just buying expensive clothes. It has to be more than just being popular." She said, "Wes, I'm so desperate to find somebody that actually loves me for me, not just because I'm attractive or because I make a lot of money. I am desperate." She just repeated it over and over and over again. Let me ask you again, have you ever felt desperate? Have you ever been in that place where you are not where you were, but you're not where you're going to be? And in the middle space, you sort of feel like you are just maybe stuck. And you're desperate to get moving. You're desperate to keep making progress. But in that moment, in that land between where you were and where you're going, you just sort of feel like it's a place of absolute desperation. The land between can be a difficult place to be. Well, if you've ever found yourself there, at whatever season of life you might have been in or might be in now, if you've ever found yourself in that land between that feels like a desperate place, then you can relate to an Old Testament hero that we've been talking a lot about during this series by the name of Moses. Moses came to a place of desperation where he was so overwhelmed, so desperate for change, so desperate for help, so depressed, so discouraged, that he actually said to God, "God, I would rather die than continue to do life like I'm doing it right now." Have you ever been at a place in your life where you actually felt like death was preferable to doing life one more day like you've been doing it? Well, if you've ever been in that place, then there might be a question that has bubbled to the surface of your mind, and it might go something like this: how in the world does God respond to desperation? How does God respond to my desperate place? And I want to take you to Moses again. Because Moses discovers that God meets us right in the middle of our desperation, and he provides for us what we need most. You know, in this series, The Land Between, we've been asking ourselves this question: what, God, is it that you want to form in me when I am in this place? When I'm in the land between, God, what is it that you want to teach me? Where do you need me to grow? What do you need me to learn as I journey through this land between? And I wonder, as we ask ourselves that question today, I wonder if God might want to whisper deep in each of our hearts, "I am a God who provides for you in your place of desperation. I'm a God who provides for you in your land between. You see, God's response to our desperation is His provision. Don't miss that. God's response to our desperation is His provision. To help us understand what that looks like, let me just quickly reference you to Numbers 11. I mentioned it a moment ago. If you've got it there in front of you, in Numbers chapter 11, you discover that just before Moses' incredible emotional meltdown, there's some unique things that are happening. The nation of Israel is journeying, as you know, from Egypt to the promised land that God has said, you're going to make a home in this new place. And they're in this journey, and they're going through the wilderness. And they're frustrated, and they're tired, and they're dirty, and they're weary, and they want to be done. And in verse 4 of chapter 11, here's what's going on. It says, the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites begin to crave the good things they had left behind in Egypt. And the people of Israel also complained. They said, oh, for some meat. We remember all of the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone because all we ever see is this manna. Now, let's just pause and remember that they would have been starving to death if God wouldn't have given them manna. So God had already kept them from starving to death by giving them manna. He'd already provided something for them, but in their frustration, in this land from where they were to where they were going, they got even frustrated with God had already provided for them, and they started complaining and complaining and complaining, and we just want something different. We just want meat. And verse 10, if you drop down to verse 10, it says, Moses heard all of the family standing in the doorways of their tents whining. And the Lord actually becomes angry with the people, and Moses becomes aggravated. And Moses then says to the Lord, he goes into this emotional meltdown. He says, why are you treating me so harshly, God? Have mercy on me. What do I do? What did I do to deserve the burden of leading all of these people? What am I supposed to do with them, he says. They keep whining, give us meat to eat. I can't carry the burden all by myself. He goes on and on and on. And then he gets to that point in verse 15 where he says, God, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me this misery. Now, it would be a real challenge to find somebody more depressed and discouraged than Moses in that moment. But listen to how God responds to his desperation. And if you listen to how God responds to Moses' desperation, you get a picture of how God wants to respond to you and me in our moment of desperation. Moses has just said to God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it by myself. The load is too big for me to carry. And God says to Moses, gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. And bring them to the tabernacle to stand with you there. The tabernacle was a kind of a portable house of worship, a church that they moved with them as they made their trek across the wilderness. And God says, bring them to that place of worship. And in verse 17, God says, I'll come down and I'll talk to you there, and I'll take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put it on them, and they will help you carry the burden of the people, so you will not have to carry it alone. How did God respond to Moses? He provided what he needed most. He provided help. He provided other people to help carry the load and carry the burden. God says, Moses, I understand your place of desperation, and I have exactly what you need. I have 70 other people that are going to help you carry the burden. And then God goes to a whole nother level of provision. Even though the people had been whining and griping and complaining, God was frustrated with them and Moses was aggravated with them, God still heard them in their desperation. And verse 31 of Numbers chapter 11, it says, the Lord sends a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp. For miles in every direction there were quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. So the people went out and they caught quail all that day and throughout the night and all the next day too. And no one gathered less than 50 bushels of quail. God said, you want meat? Here's more meat than you know what to do with. Whenever I hear that story and I read it about quail flying about 3 feet off the ground, I imagine a bunch of teenage guys out there with tennis rackets just kind of knocking them out of the air. I mean, they were hungry for meat and God provided for them. I think about that truth. Moses is in a place of desperation. And how does God respond to his desperation? By providing what he needed. God's response to our desperation is his provision. And don't miss this. Wherever God leads us is the very place where we will experience his provision. Wherever he leads, he promises to provide. Remember, Moses didn't want to be the leader of the people. Do you remember? He actually said at one point, God, anybody else is better than me. Please don't send me. But he did follow what God called him to do. And as he followed where God called him, he discovered that in that place, he found God's provision. Think about the route that they were taking to the promised land. There were all sorts of different routes that they could have taken. There wasn't just one route. There were several they could have taken. But God led them through the Red Sea. And he led them across the wilderness. And in that place where they didn't necessarily want to be, it was in that place that God actually provided for their needs. And when we are following God, when we are following his lead, even though it may feel like we are in a land between where we were and where we're going, and it might feel like a desperate place, when we are following God, we can be certain that God will meet us and give us his perfect provision. I appreciate so much the words of Pastor Jeff Mannion. He pastors Ada Bible Church over by Grand Rapids. And he wrote about this very subject, and he said, often God chooses to meet us with his blessing in a place we do not choose to be. We would maybe have chosen a different route. We would have made a different decision if it just would have been up to us. But when God leads and we follow, he provides. Mannion went on to say, the place of God's blessing is not always the place of preference. You know, there may have been times in your life where you feel like you were journeying with someone or a group of people, and for whatever reason, it feels like you got out in the middle of somewhere and they left you high and dry. But I guarantee you, you will never have that experience with God. If God is leading and you are following, he will never leave you. And you will always find him providing exactly what you need. If it had been up to you, you might have chosen a different direction. If it had been up to you, you might have made the choice differently, but God says, go here, and you follow, and he will provide. And because God knows us so intimately, because he understands us so well, he knows what we need most. He knows what we need most. Even when we don't know what we need, God is completely aware. I think God loves providing exactly what we need at exactly the right moment. Moses needed help, and God provided 70 leaders. The people were desperate for meat, and God provided meat. Think about our lives. In our lives, maybe God provides a timely email of encouragement. Or maybe he provides a well-timed message or a well-timed Bible study or a conversation with a friend that addresses a situation you are dealing with and it brings clarity and hope. Maybe God provides exactly what you need when you are at the end of your rope caring for your kids and you don't feel like you can do it one more minute without having an emotional meltdown, and God gives you the patience you need to keep loving those kids for another minute or two. Or maybe in God's provision and God knowing exactly what you need, he provides a friend to come over and watch your kids so you can have a couple hours to recharge. Maybe God provides peace in a difficult moment. Or maybe he provides unexpected finances to pay for an unexpected bill. Whatever it is, God loves providing for his people because providing is what he does. And he has such an intimate knowledge of you and me that he is able to meet our needs and provide what we need, even when we feel like we are in a place of desperation. Can I give you a couple of examples of how God has done that for Grace Point over the last few decades? Let me just give you a couple of examples. There was a time when we were desperate for encouragement. I'm not even sure we needed it. And God provided it. Let me tell you a quick story. Back in the early years of my time as your pastor here, so back in the early 2000s, and I know, yeah, that's a long time ago, but we were doing our very best to figure out what it looked like for us to live out the mission that God had given to us. So what God was calling us to do, but back in those early years, I have to tell you, it felt like there were more struggles than there were victories. And I was feeling really discouraged. Fall of 2004, I was feeling really discouraged. I didn't know if we would ever break through as a church. I just really was feeling discouraged. And I remember that we were in the middle of a sermon series called Uprising, a Revolution of Compassion. And we were trying to paint a picture of what it would look like for our church family to be not just concerned about those of us who were already here, but for those of us who would be willing to welcome other people into the church family. For those of us who would be willing not just to experience the love of Jesus, but we wanted to share the love of Jesus with the people around us. We wanted not only to receive grace, we wanted to share grace with our community. So we were trying to paint this picture, and one Sunday, November the 7th, actually, of 2004, I was going to preach a message called, Is There Room at the Table? And here was the basis of the message, and some of you have heard the story before. The basis of the message was simply this, that Jesus is the bread of life, and He satisfies the deepest hungers of our soul. And He invites us to come to the table and experience Him. And in experiencing Him, we are satisfied in a way that nothing else can satisfy us. And so we talked about accepting the invitation to come to the table. And then not just being satisfied with us being at the table, but us making sure that there was room at the table for other people whom God was calling and God was drawing. And so is there room at the table? And I remember that Glenn and I were brainstorming about how we could make the message come alive. And so we decided we would put a dining room table on the platform. And we would cover it with a tablecloth and we'd put fancy china on there. And then while I was preaching, I would walk around the table and go to each place setting and talk about the people who God wanted us to invite to fill that spot. I was pretty excited about it. I thought, this is going to work. This is going to work. And then in the middle of the night, on Saturday night, early Sunday morning, I felt like God was waking me up and saying, I want you to add something to it, something that I thought was going to ruin everything. I felt like God wanted us to get a tablecloth that people could actually write a name on, and at the end of the message that I was supposed to invite people to be courageous enough to actually come up and to write the name of somebody who they felt like God was prompting them to welcome to the table. They would be willing to pray for them and invest in them and build a relationship with them. And they would welcome them to the table so they could experience Jesus. And I remember thinking when I woke up early that morning, God, nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to get up out of their seat and actually walk up onto the platform and do that. But you know how when God wants you to do something, you can't get away from it? Yeah, and so I couldn't get away from it. And so I got up early that morning and I went to the store and I bought a tablecloth because we had a really fancy tablecloth that my wife would have killed us if we wrote on it. So we bought a tablecloth that we could write on, a plastic thing. And I bought a box of black Sharpie markers and got to the church on Sunday morning, and Glenn and I rearranged things a little bit, and I did the message and I preached it as passionately as I could and challenged all of us to accept the invitation of Jesus to come to the table, but not to be satisfied with us just being there, but that it was our responsibility to actually invite other people and welcome them to the table. And I did the message and I gave the challenge, if you feel like God is prompting you to pray for somebody and invest in somebody and welcome them to the table, would you be courageous enough to come up and write your name, and write their name, excuse me, on the tablecloth? And I remember turning around and praying, God, would there be at least one person that would come up here? I was praying, and so I was moving the dishes, and Glenn was playing in the background, and I moved the dishes off, and I I was praying, God, just one. And I will never forget turning back around and looking out at the crowd down at our other campus on South Washington Street. Some of you were there that morning. And there were people lined up all the way from the front of the stage all the way out into the lobby waiting to come up and sign the name on the tablecloth. Pastor Joel has the tablecloth right down there on the front row with all those names that you put on that tablecloth that day. Some of you are here today in this room because somebody wrote your name on the tablecloth. Hundreds of people have come to know Jesus whose names were written on that tablecloth. There are people who today are in heaven because somebody wrote their name on the tablecloth and invested in them, and they found Jesus, and they've gone home to heaven now. I cannot tell you what a pivotal moment that was for me. It was actually a pivotal moment for our church. There was a shift that happened in our church. Not because that tablecloth had any magic to it, but because God knew we needed encouragement that day. We needed a shift in focus that day, and God gave it to us. Last week, I had the privilege of having dinner Val and I did with our Great Lakes Regional Superintendent, and he asked me, Wes, what was a pivotal moment when you knew that you could break through with God's help, the church could break through with God's help, and live out the mission that God had called it to? And I said, well, there was this Sunday in November of 2004. And we just talked about, is there room at the table? And God did what we couldn't do ourselves. He gave us encouragement. God knows what we need most. There was another day I felt discouraged. By the way, that hasn't always been my feeling, but there was another day I felt discouraged. I don't even know what year it was, but I was feeling pretty low that day. I'd had to have some difficult conversations with people, and they had not gone all that well, in my opinion. And my phone rang in my office, and it was Gene Erickson on the other end. That was when he and Betty went to Florida all the time in the wintertime. And Gene just simply said, hey, partner, how you doing this morning? He said, I just wanted to call and tell you that Betty and I felt prompted to pray for you this morning. Don't know what you're going through right now, but you have been prayed for today. Thank you, Gene. God knows what we need, and He provides it for us, what we need most. God provides encouragement. God provided partnership for us. 10 years forward from that 2004 time that I told you about, things were very different at Grace Point. We were growing by leaps and bounds, and we were doing lots of services, and great things were going on, and we were experiencing an increase in giving like we had never seen before, and we were trying to figure out what in the world God was calling us to do. We knew that God was not blessing us just so we could experience it ourselves, but He wanted to help us bless our community and share the hope of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, with our community. And we didn't know for sure what that was, but we sat as a leadership team around the table and we prayed that God would give us direction to know how we could expand what God wanted to do in our community. And God had brought us in contact with a small, struggling little group of people that were trying to start a church in St. John's. And they couldn't get the thing off the ground. They'd been trying for 7 years and it just wasn't working. They were having one struggle after another. And somehow, some way, we came in connection with them, and God prompted us to start giving a few dollars to them every month. We started giving them $1,000 because they couldn't pay their bills. And so we started giving $1,000 just to help them out and pay their bills. And we got involved in helping the church a little bit in some different ways. And eventually, through a series of events, God called us and God called them to partner together so that we could share the grace of Jesus in the St. John's community more effectively. And so there's a campus in St. John's that's meeting this morning right now. I was there preaching last week. And they are sharing the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus in that St. John's community. And it's a beautiful thing. And not only are they gathering on Sunday mornings, but their most significant ministry is not on Sunday morning, actually. Their most significant ministry is that they have a mobile food pantry that's feeding hundreds of people every single month. And there, our little campus there is housing all sorts of need-meeting groups, like support groups for foster care parents and a baby pantry that meets the needs of moms who don't have enough diapers and those kinds of things. And AA groups are meeting there. I mean, it's just on and on and on. There's meetings that are going on in compassion-oriented ministries every single day of the week at that campus, most days. All of that because we just said, God, how do you want us to partner with somebody? And God provided partnership. God provided partnership as we thought about Northgate and the wonderful opportunity that Northgate and Grace Point had to work together and how God has brought that into being. And God provided resources. God provided resources when we needed resources. We didn't even know we needed resources, and God provided them. I told you, we started giving $1,000 a month to a little church plant that couldn't pay their bills. And when all things came together, after a year, we had given them $12,000, which is not a huge sum of money, but it was significant to them, and it allowed them to pay their bills. And then when God brought us together, and we actually became St. John's Campus of Grace Point, and we closed out their checkbook, and we merged it into the larger umbrella of Grace Point, we had given them $12,000 over the course of that year, and somehow a church that couldn't pay its bills, when we closed out their checkbook, guess how much money they had in their checkbook? $12,000. Because God had returned everything that we had given. We didn't know we were going to need it, but we did. And we used that $12,000 as seed money to completely renovate that campus. When God brought Grace Point and Northgate together, we assumed Northgate's debt, and we assumed a campus that needed some significant remodeling. Even though it was wonderful, it needed some remodeling and updating. And God had been blessing and growing and moving, and we didn't know what God wanted us to do, but we were praying, God, help us to know what we need to do. And we took the step as the opportunities came together for us to partner with Northgate, and we eventually merged together. And we eventually relocated up to this campus. And because God had been blessing and providing what we didn't even know we needed, we had everything we needed to renovate the campus and update the campus and buy a ministry house across the street and remodel that and update the parking in the back and do all kinds of things. And He provided all the resources we needed and has continued to provide resources. We paid off all of Northgate's debt, and we're still debt-free today. Because God provides wherever He leads. And He provides exactly what we need most. Let me give you one other thought, and then we're going to wrap it up. I believe, based on the authority of God's Word, that God is already at work providing what is needed for us to go wherever He will lead. God is already at work today providing exactly what is needed for us to go wherever He will lead us. We've witnessed it in our own lives, and we witness it in Scripture over and over and over again. The very week that we announced that there was a transition happening for the lead pastor role here at Grace Point, the very week, God was already preparing Pastor Joel for this position. He didn't know it, and we didn't know it. But God was already at work preparing the right individual for us to pass the baton to. God was already at work. The very week that we made public here at Grace Point that I was going to be stepping away from this role in about a year, the very week that we made it public, I happened to be at a conference in Florida. A conference where there were a lot of Wesleyan folks amongst several thousand other people. And at that conference, some people who were very close to me knew that the information was going to come to you that week that there was a passing of the baton that was going to happen. And I didn't know what God was really calling me to do. I wasn't quite sure where He was going to place me in the next chapter of life. And so everybody's question and your question has been the whole time, so what are you going to do, Wes? Val's not going to let you just sit and watch TV all day, so what are you going to do? And that very week, Chris Conrad, who's actually going to be here with us next weekend, and Wayne Schmidt, our general superintendent, and Dennis Perkins, who's the director of Global Partners for our denomination, all of those guys actually individually prayed for me and prayed for our church, prayed for our church that God would provide the right person, prayed for me that God would provide me the right opportunity for the future. At that conference, I happened to meet somebody who I struck up a conversation with, and they are involved in a ministry that helps pastors and coaches pastors and works with pastors in different areas of their lives, tries to help them be better prepared for the future and all those kinds of things. Didn't really think much about it, other than the fact that we had continuing conversations. I met them the very week that those men prayed for me, that God would provide the next step for me. And months later, earlier this last fall, that person said to me, "So you're going through this transition at your church, right? Why don't you come work for me? Why don't you come work with us and partner with us?" That was about 9 months that I met that person, the week that those guys prayed for me. 9 months later, that person said, "Hey, why don't you come help us?" God was already providing where he was going to lead. And that's just one of the things I'm going to get to do as we transition out of this role. I'm going to get to coach a lot of pastors, and some through that organization and some through some others. I believe with all of my heart that God right now is providing everything Grace Point is going to need for wherever God leads us in the future. God is already providing it. So we may feel a little uncertain. We may feel like we are not where we were and we are not where we are going. We're kind of in this land in between, but I want to guarantee you that we are not alone. And we may feel desperate at times, desperate for direction, desperate for clarity. We may feel all of those things, but in the middle of our desperation, God offers us his provision. And he says, "I am providing right now, I'm preparing you right now for wherever it is that I'm going to lead you in the future." Have you ever felt desperate? God's response is to provide exactly what you need in that moment. I told you the story about a young lady who came and was desperate, talked to me in my office. Told you that at the beginning of the message. She made a decision to follow Jesus. She found that Jesus met the deepest needs of her life. I had the opportunity to baptize her a few months later. She was a huge part of our family in that church. Probably still is. I haven't had communication with her in a long time now. But she discovered in her desperation, God met her. And I know that wherever you are today, God will meet you. And whatever you are going through today and whatever place you find yourself in today is simply God wanting to prepare you and help you and grow you so you are ready for where he's going to lead you tomorrow. Just stand with me, please. Just bow your heads with me for a moment. Jesus, in his most famous message, the Sermon on the Mount, challenged people not to be worried about what they were going to wear or eat or drink or all those kind of things. He said, just seek me. Seek me and God will provide everything you need. And our challenge today is to seek him as individuals, as a church. Knowing that as we seek him, as he stays in focus, he will provide what we need. So God, would you help us today to be people who understand how much we are loved by you. A God who doesn't forsake us in the middle of our desperation. A God who doesn't run away with all of our emotion, but a God who meets us right in the middle of it. And a God who understands our deepest needs, and as you call and as you lead, you always provide, and you provide even now what we're going to need tomorrow. And so, God, would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to trust you in a way that maybe we've never trusted you before? And And Jesus, would you help us to seek you? Seek you first, knowing that as we seek you first, you will provide what we need. Jesus, I pray that you would help us be willing to accept your invitation to experience you. And I pray that you would help us always to be willing to welcome other people, to share your grace, to share your love, to share your hope, so they can experience you as well. Father, we look forward to your direction and for all that you are going to do, for all that you are going to accomplish in us and through us as your church in the days ahead. We pray and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.